Tales of High Strangeness, Jerry Pippin's Parazel. Check out our stories of the horrific, the interesting, the spiritual on the paranormal pages of jerrypippin.com. As you know, we're talking with Lynn Buchanan, noted controlled remote viewer. And Lynn, in the first part of the show, we talked a little bit about Aztec and whether or not the crash really happened, and you assumed that it did because their cadre of remote viewers all seemed to validate that a crash happened. Also, many of them reported an execution of ETs, which puzzles me. I can't imagine anybody ordering something like that. I mean, surely somebody faced some consequences. I don't see any record of it.
Well, yeah, but you know, a lot of stupid mistakes are made by rulers and those in charge, and there were consequences of it. One, we didn't get them as allies. I just wonder where the world would be right now if we had.
Excellent point you make there, Lynn. I imagine this is not the only time that if we knew all the history and all the secrets were uncovered, that we've had brilliant opportunities and blown them.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And there are plenty of other times, I think, when we didn't blow it, where we've made some good decisions. And, you know, history is full of mistakes and also full of good decisions. So, you know, that wasn't the only crash that's ever happened, and that wasn't the only contact that's ever been made.
Lynn, before you get off here, I want to discuss a little bit about your company and you yourself about controlled remote viewing. Do you do workshops for the public as well as companies?
Yeah, in fact, most of the classes we teach are for the public. If you look on our website, there's a schedule of classes that we give, and then the ones for like corporations, they don't want anybody knowing that, first of all, they're using remote viewing, and second, they don't want anyone to know who the remote viewers are, and so those never make it onto our training calendar. But yeah, most of the classes that we teach are to the general public. Now that this is in the civilian arena, its applications are just blossoming. I mean, you know, in the military, it was used for military applications. Out in the public, we find that information is valuable no matter to whom. Telling an archaeologist, dig here, don't dig there, saves the archaeologist, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Telling a business, go with plan B rather than plan A, saves the company. Finding missing persons, doing drug interdiction. All of this is, these applications are just phenomenal. We have found that, under the right circumstances, a doctor using this can pick up illnesses long before even his finest equipment can pick it up. And so, you know, it saves not only the doctor in doing his work, but also the patient.
Amazing. I hadn't thought of the medical ramifications of controlled remote viewing. One thing that really puzzles me about it, but I guess it's true, is there's not any difference between time and distance. I mean, you can go forward in time or backwards. Forward in distance or backwards? I mean, you told me about that in one broadcast a little bit earlier.
Yeah, in CRV, in controlled remote viewing, I don't know about the other remote viewings out there, but in controlled remote viewing, there's absolutely no difference in protocol between saying move forward 10 feet and move forward 10 years.
I'm sure there are remote viewers, maybe you've done it, go back in history and check out historic events to see if they really happened.
Oh, yeah, we do a lot of training with that, yeah. And we also have had a lot of authors come in who like to write historical works, and we've had some scientists come in as well who, you know, are, well, archaeologists and scientists and paleontologists and all that. One of the things that is an excellent example, we had an archaeologist come in one time, and he asked the question, why? And that was all he asked. And so we found a lot of information, but the summary wound up because they didn't have money. And
you mean the society didn't have money? They didn't use money?
Yeah, and he sort of blew it off, but he came back about 2 years later, and he said, what did you mean by they didn't have money? And I said, well, I didn't mean they were broke. I meant that they didn't have the concept of money. Come to find out, the question why was, why did the Aztec cities, or the Mayan cities, just empty out overnight? And the reason was because they didn't have the concept of money, and so the way they supported the government was just like with the National Guard. People from farms and all that would have to spend their 2 weeks out of the year at these centers serving the government, building roads and all this other stuff. And and so when the government fell, basically, the people who were there for their 2 weeks went home. Nobody else had been told to come because the government just wasn't, you know, keeping any of its schedules or anything. And so nobody else was told to come, and so nobody came. And as a result, the what they have been thinking were cities, but which were really not, those cities emptied out at night as the farmers went home. The next day, nobody came back. And this archaeologist said that this explains everything that they have just not had a an answer to for all these years.
In other words, no one was using the facilities.
Yeah, that's right. They were all back at their farms.
Another thing about control remote viewing, have you or your group, or do you know of people who came across an impending disaster, either natural or man-made? You try to warn people and nobody pays attention, or maybe they do?
Well, some of them pay attention. We see disasters coming, but it's one of those things of...
Maybe you have to be focused on it.
Well, it's not that. It's not hard to see the impending disasters and the impending good things that happen as well. The whole problem is having the contacts with the people who can do something about it. And then, you know, even if you get the news to the people who can do something about it, are they going to be macho enough to stand up and say, hey, this is on the way and we know this is going to happen and so let's do something about it? And you know, like the Japanese earthquake, who would you tell about it so that they would take the action required to save the plants, save, you know, pull the rods out of the plants before the earthquake happened and all that? I know at 9/11, I was supposed to be in Lower Manhattan on 9/11, and on the 9th, my wife and I were just pacing back and forth on the patio out here. We knew that something bad was going to happen, and the next day, five planes broke down that I got on going to New York, and I got there like a day late, and I got there early in the morning of 9/11, and you know, I was like four blocks from the buildings when they came down. And I mean, who could you have told about that that would have prevented it, that would have listened? And so, you know, these things like this, you can prepare for it yourself with the information. But getting that information to someone who will actually take the gumption to do something about it, that's the hard
thing. You started this remote viewing while you were in the military, so you've had lots of military contacts over the years. And I remember in one broadcast you told me there was a major event that you knew ahead of time, and you didn't tell anybody. And I said, why didn't you? And you said, nobody asked.
True. When the helicopters came down in the desert when they were trying the hostage rescue in Lebanon, the helicopters crashed because there was sand in the motors, and our report got to the president 10 minutes before the electronic report did. And of course, by that time, there was nothing that could be done about it. But you know, had they tasked us with the success of that mission, we could have prevented some stuff.
What do you think about the military? They seem to say they're not using remote viewing, but you think they still are? Not just not telling us?
Well, they're not telling me. I'm retired.
Yeah.
And my answer to that question is always, I hope so, because they would be stupid not to.
So you are really convinced that remote viewing has been very successful, and your service to the country was successful.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The thing about this government would be stupid not to also raises the question of, does the government ever do anything stupid? And so, you know, when people ask me, I say, I hope so, but I really don't.
Lynn, earlier you mentioned 9/11, and Janet Saylor, who covered the Aztec conference for me, said basically that you think bin Laden's still alive.
Yeah, well, we've known his location and all that. They just don't want
well,
that.
Someday we're going to have to get you to focus in on 9/11. I'd love to know what remote viewing really shows. Our time's almost up, Lynn. You got anything else you want to say?
Well, if anybody's interested in finding out more about it, they have the website there. I hate people who come on the radio and hawk their books, but, well, there's a lot of information about controlled remote viewing and what we did in the military in a book I wrote called The Seventh Sense. And you can get that through Amazon, or it's put out by Simon & Schuster. And
that's a good publisher.
A lot of information, and it also has exercises that will teach you how to develop a line of information between your conscious and subconscious mind. So it's a good book to have, and it's one of the very few books out there that actually teaches you something rather than just telling you something.
Lynn Buchanan, always a pleasure having you on. You know, you lead an interesting life. We need to stay in contact more.
Well, we have the International Remote Viewing Association's annual conference coming up in Las Vegas in June. And I think it's June 17th through 19th. And that is open to the public. We have a lot of speakers, a lot of the ex-military people, a lot of the researchers. And this is absolutely not a voodoo and woo-woo type situation. This is the science of controlled remote viewing and the science of remote viewing itself. And so it winds up being a real eye-opener for a lot of people who are interested in this, but just haven't known where to get into it.
I'm sure a lot of people would like to know more information about that conference out in Las Vegas.
Yeah, they have a website. It's IRVA, International Remote Viewers Association, IRVAconference.org.
Now, your group, your cadre of remote viewers that work with you closely, Lynn, they're not just around Arizona and New Mexico. I mean, they're around the world, right?
Oh, yeah. Since this came out from the military arena into the civilian arena, we have taught viewers from just about every country you can imagine. And, you know, we were not the only country who had, quote, I hate this term, psychic spies. Almost every country in the world has had a mental spine for decades and decades now, and some of them fairly successful. Ours wound up having the highest dependability rate simply because we did not depend on natural talent. We depended on a scientific method that could be taught to any soldier, and therefore any person.
Lynn, thank you very much for being on the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Who knows? Maybe we'll see you in Las Vegas in June.
Good.
Fascinating show. Thanks.
Good night.
I'm Jerry Pippin. Thanks for listening, everyone.